Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. It is Friday, May 20th. We're whipsawing between spring and summer here outside of Chicago. My flower pots and vegetable garden don't know what to think. And I don't know what to think about this recent report from the American Hospital Association on rising operational costs at the nation's hospitals and health systems. The AHA says the rising costs are unsustainable and putting hospitals and health systems in a, quote, precarious financial situation, close quote. Where have I heard that before? Oh, I know. Every year for the past 40 years. To tell us what's different now, if anything, are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning, Dave?
After the April showers, I'm enjoying these May flowers. I love this time of year when the grass turns green, the trees get their leaves, and flowers bloom. Gives new meaning to the aphorism, hope springs eternal.
There you go. Good message. Julie, how are you doing?
I am good. I just finished a long stint on the road, and it is nice to be home. I'll say that. But I'll say no one's wearing a mask in the airport or on planes. It's quite stunning.
Really, really. Yeah. And the numbers keep climbing. So
that's right.
Not a good mix. Thank you. Now, before we talk about this economic report from the AHA, let's talk about what's springing up at your houses. Dave, I know you took your holiday decorations down. Are your flower pots up?
We buy instant garden for our deck at Costco, and we did that last weekend, and it looks great. Terry still has to plant her herb garden so we can enjoy fresh pesto all year long. Yum.
That sounds great. We'll have to trade pesto recipes. We do that here, too. That's great. Julie, what plants are out at your house?
Well, there's definitely nothing in the ground that I could actually cook, so I'll be coming to your house. but we have this amazingly stunning Japanese maple right outside our front door. And I don't know if you've seen one, but they're just this gorgeous deep red leaf color. It's amazing. So it's not tulips or anything, but it's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, you'll have to send us pictures of that. That's great. Thanks, Julie. We do have all our flower pots out and the vegetable garden is in. I'm just waiting for that freak snowstorm so I could do it all over again. You know, here in Chicago, it's not June until it's June. So all right, let's talk about this AHA report that came out a few weeks ago. The AHA said hospital expenses per patient rose 20.1% from 2019 to 2021, and it broke that increase down into three big line items: a 36.9% increase in drug costs, a 20.6% increase in supply costs, and a 19.1% increase in labor costs. The AHA said the massive growth in expenses is unsustainable, and hospitals and health systems need more federal financial support. Dave, what's your reaction to the report? Is it the usual sky is falling rhetoric from a trade association, or is there something else happening here that really is unsustainable and needs federal intervention?
Well, your astute analysis, Dave, recognize that the AHA figures are based on per patient, not per hospital. So if volume's down, revenue is going to be down as well. So all other things being equal, volume is part of this. And it's, to me, it's the old adage, figures lie and liars figure. So to your question, it's the usual sky is falling rhetoric from the AHA. They're like heroin junkies. Every time the revenues run low, they run back to their dealer for more. And the dealers in this case, in case you missed it, are government payers. You know, heaven forbid that hospitals reconfigure their business models, take more risk, and offer higher value services. No, no, not that. Anything but that. But now that I think about it, the better analogy is Jack Nicholson's famous "you can't handle the truth" response to Tom Cruise in A Few Good Men. After proclaiming that Cruise wants him on that wall and needs him on that wall, Nicholson says, quote, "I would rather you just say thank you and be on your way," close quote. So should we just say thank you and fork over more money to hospitals because they say they need it? Times are tough for hospitals, no doubt. Labor, supply, and drug costs are up. The government bailout money has run dry. The operating losses for some hospitals are staggering. it's tough out there, and I have enormous compassion for hospital administrators trying to keep their ships afloat. But, and it's a very big but, as a society, we already spend far too much on acute and specialty care services and nowhere near enough on prevention, chronic disease management, mental health services, and health promotion. The first thing to do when you're in a ditch is to stop digging, right? Governments need to stop feeding hospitals spending addiction and saying thank you. Governments need to become better buyers of healthcare services. They must use their purchasing power to drive provision of more appropriate and higher value healthcare services. Once hospitals are doing a better job of creating healthier communities, we can talk about more generous resource allocation. By the way, you didn't hear HCA asking for more government handout, and they even pay taxes, right? HCA's profits were down 11% in the first quarter of 2022 relative to 2021 because of higher costs, even though their treatment volumes were up. Totally manageable situation, so the company adjusted its guidance for investors and is attacking its cost challenges. You know, don't cry for me, Argentina. One last thing, Optum just released an ebook identifying 5 priorities for hospitals and health systems to achieve sustainable financial performance. I'm sure this ebook offers sound advice, but it's coming from a company owned by the nation's largest commercial health insurer, United Health Group, and that company is just printing money right now. So just saying, ...
Thanks, Dave. That's quite a frank analysis. Julie, any comments or questions for Dave?
Well, Dave, you know me, I can't say I disagree with much of anything you just said, but is there any scenario where you think there could be a government bailout that makes sense, perhaps for some types of hospitals, something like that?
Are you willing to make me healthcare czar, at least for a day?
Don't push me there.
All right. Well, I'm going to assume I'm healthcare czar. And at this point, I'm only ready to bail out hospitals if they're ready to hand over the keys and let governments reconfigure their assets to build sustainable community health networks. The mental model I have in mind is the Resolution Trust Corporation from the 1990s, which acquired the assets of failed savings and loan institutions, liquidated them, and then went out of business itself. As part of this grand scheme, I'd tax all hospital providers equally and use the proceeds to help fund these sustainable community health networks. And then I'd go out of business.
I'd vote for you, Dave. You'd get my vote there.
I might too.
That's great. Thank you. Julie, West Health and Gallup recently came out with their latest healthcare value index. It said 95% of adults think that the quality of care that they receive is inconsistent or poor compared with the amount that they pay for it. I'm sure 95% of adults haven't read the AHA report, but if they did, what do you think their reaction would be? And what should be the reaction to the report from the market? Is this a kind of roadmap for innovation for startups and entrepreneurs?
Yeah, well, I think what you might think of the report might depend upon whether you're living with a nurse or a physician or another caregiver maybe, but I do think that most Americans would not be thrilled for another bailout. And I guess here's what I think. When I look at this workforce issue, I mean, this was a dominant thread in every aspect of some of the coverage here. And all I see is that travel nurse agencies, I guess like United Healthcare, Dave, are making money hand over fist. I mean, these companies are rolling in the dough. And if the government wants to do something useful here, it should really be calling on all innovators with unique, innovative staffing solutions who are willing to actually put their solutions to work in a way that helps the system and, I don't know, market those solutions to health systems, negotiate with those solutions for health systems. We have people in this workforce scenario making money, and it's definitely not the nurses. We have another problem here with workforce. You know, I saw Deborah DeSanzo from Best Buy speak this week about how nurses have come to Best Buy looking for jobs to do anything, not just work in Best Buy's healthcare unit, but to work in stores at the checkout counter or stocking goods. So people are leaving because they want something else. They're rejecting the healthcare system. You know, HCA is actually bleeding project managers to the new Amazon facility in Nashville. So we have a broader economic reality that's really setting in. On supply chain, you know, I look at this as both a temporary issue of supply chain hiccups and one definitely of inflation. And there's no getting around these increased costs, but there are some novel approaches out there that I think are sort of fun. You know, Ochsner started its own PPE business to really put its community back to work. There are going to be, and there already are, ways of thinking about leveraging costs and supply chain that we should be able to deal with these issues. And on the drug issue, Dave, like, let's just get Civica to work. They seem to be pretty effective at lowering costs these days. So I think we could do more there. All that said, I just spent a few days at the Avia Summit with a number of, you know, prominent health system leaders in the area of digital transformation specifically. And unfortunately, my takeaway is that health systems are still scratching the surface of identifying their highest priority problems where new approaches, you know, many of which could use digital, could shift their business models. And several of these systems, you know, have some digital efforts underway. And many of these systems have too many digital efforts underway, which says to me that we're not leading with a strategy around what our new business models are for these health systems. I was also struck by competitions coming from everywhere. When you look at a landscape of innovators and where they're actually impacting the value chain for health systems could be getting eaten alive. And I think what might be happening is they are getting eaten alive. And any consumer from that Gallup report has to spend too much more time with health systems that aren't delivering on their needs are really going to increasingly turn to other more convenient, higher service, more enjoyable solutions. So health systems are going to need to watch out.
A lot of warning shots over the bow there. Thanks, Julie. Dave, any comments or questions for Julie?
Well, I'm still absorbing that observation that nurses are going to Best Buy to be sales clerk.
Yeah.
What a horrific waste of training and talent that we can't seem to make their jobs more enjoyable. That's really chilling. Julie, I'm struck by the fact that the AHA is pleading poverty, first half of our show today, when 95% of Americans believe the care they receive is inconsistent or poor relative to the prices paid for that care. So riddle me this. What does this cost-value paradox indicate about the level of disconnection between hospitals and their patient consumers that they supposedly serve, and what are its implications? You touched on this at the end of your comments, but I'd love for you to go a little deeper.
Yeah, this is definitely where I was going with that. Health systems have old processes that it's trying to apply new technology to, and have old technology that it's continuing to apply old processes to. And all of that is understood by consumers who have to spend time on the phone, who just don't have the same convenience as they have of being able to sign up for text reminders for almost every other service in their life. So, you know, I do think that health plans who are starting to invest in making things more convenient for their members, we as people might actually start to pay more attention to that. Anyone who's gone to Carbon Health, by the way, if anyone has a Carbon Health in their neighborhood, I have talked to three people in the last week who've been talking about how they just love to walk into Carbon Health. It's just easier for them. We are starting to see these brands that people are utilizing, and they will walk away from hospitals for things that are upstream to those hospitals. And as soon as, whether it's Amazon Care or, you know, a One Medical or even an Accolade who's helping to navigate patients to utilize benefits, they will start to navigate care to specific places, and they won't be those high cost, low quality or low convenience hospital models.
Interesting. Patients are going to start voting with their wallets. Thanks, Julie. That's great. My reaction as a taxpayer is I'm not much for government bailouts for any industry in which half its members are printing money. Full stop. Great economics lesson today. Now let's briefly talk about other news. Julie, anything worth noting from your vantage point?
Well, not something, you know, major from mainstream healthcare, but our friends at Morning Brew did a survey. And one stat I love around this abortion debate that I think is quite telling if you are a right-wing Republican who cares about the economy. They asked young people how important abortion access would be in deciding where they live in the future. And 54% said that it would be very important or somewhat important. So these are young people voting with their feet, saying they will not live in a state that reverts back on its abortion laws. And I think Republicans should really pay attention to this data because it's going to have massive economic impact in the future.
All right. There goes your future tax base. That's very interesting. Thanks, Julie. Dave, what else happened in healthcare this week that's worth noting?
Abortion is a growth industry trigger. There you go. I'm going to try and liven up our mood. So my favorite moment of the week was seeing the new lineup of Ken and Barbie dolls. I don't know if everybody has seen that picture, but they've got a Barbie with a prosthetic leg, another one with a hearing aid. They've got a Ken doll with a pigment condition, another Barbie in a wheelchair, all different body types. And I just thought it was a refreshing snapshot of America. And of course, they're all very fashionably dressed. So here's to Barbie and Ken.
Yeah, let's see ourselves in the toys. That's fantastic. Thanks, Dave, and thank you, Julie. That is all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed on today's show, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. And if you follow our show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite streaming service, you'll get notified each time a new episode is available. And don't forget to tell a friend about Foresight Friday Roundup. Subscribe now and don't miss another segment of the best 20 minutes in healthcare. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Burda for Foresight Health.